Welcome into the rundown. It is hump day here in Music City, USA. Ryan Porth alongside Marquise Munson behind the glass. Chase McCabe on his way down to Bridgestone Arena once again, as Darren Donick and Chase will be broadcasting live from Bridgestone Arena from day three of Nashville Predators training camp. They ramped things up yesterday. It'll be interesting to see if they ramp it up yet again today on day three before a day off tomorrow. Yesterday, the broadcast times came out for the qualifying round between the Nashville Predators and the Arizona Coyotes and the other NHL qualifying rounds and round robin games starting August 1st. And this is like a dream as a hockey fan. This is a dream of what's going to take place on August 1st, August 2nd, and moving forward in this qualifying round. Just get ready to listen to this. On Saturday, August 1st, starting at 11 a.m., it's Rangers-Hurricanes, and the night comes to an end with Jets-Flames at 9:30, and there are games all day long Saturday, August 1st. And then Sunday, August 2nd, the Nashville Predators kick things off against the Arizona Coyotes at 1 o'clock local time up in Edmonton, 1 o'clock Central. That would be, what, 12 o'clock up there in Edmonton? So in the hub city between the Preds and the Coyotes. Five more games on August 2nd. You have six games throughout the week. Six games a day throughout the week. So it's going to be hockey heaven starting August 1st. And it's going to be 1 o'clock for game one and then 1:30 p.m. Yes, in the middle of your workday on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 4th and 5th. So that should be a lot of fun, having the Preds playing some matinee hockey against the Arizona Coyotes, meaningful matinee hockey come just, 3 weeks from now. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, exhibition game versus Dallas at 3 o'clock in Edmonton, July 30th. The NHL announced that yesterday. So Preds stars on July 30th, an exhibition game for both teams to, say, knock off the rust before the games start meaning something. But we'll be getting to the Preds later on in the show. But yesterday morning, it came out from ESPN's Adam Schefter that Derrick Henry would not be getting a contract extension from the Tennessee Titans before today's 3 p.m. deadline for franchise players to get said franchise extension. And Adam Schefter has also put out there here in the last few minutes that it does not look like Dak Prescott is going to get his extension with the Dallas Cowboys. So I know that's big news in the NFL world as well. But as it pertains to Derrick Henry, one thought that I had as the day went on yesterday and when I woke up this morning was this kind of feels like John Robinson continuing to show the Patriot way by not giving Derrick Henry an extension. Because the Patriot way is to get out a year early rather than a year too late. And he's not getting out of Derrick Henry yet. He may be after this year. We don't know. But this has kind of been a theme throughout this offseason. He traded Jarrell Casey. He didn't re-sign Logan Ryan. He also parted ways with Delanie Walker, and he may have learned a lesson with Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker, after the 2017 season, had a big year, 74 catches, 807 yards. Delanie Walker going into his age 34 season, it felt like Delanie Walker was invincible, that he was going to be a productive tight end for the next few seasons. So he gives Delanie Walker a contract. And ever since Delanie Walker got that contract, he's caught 25 passes in 8 games. He's been injury prone, and he still isn't signed as a free agent ever since he got cut by the Tennessee Titans. And you don't want to find yourself in a worse situation with someone like Derrick Henry. So you know how in fantasy football, the saying for the draft is always draft with your head and not your heart. Don't go with your favorite players. Go with the best players for your fantasy football team. And applying that to John Robinson's situation and the, quote, Patriot way, that's kind of how it feels right now with this Titans team. As much as Titans fans, including myself, may not like it, I want to see Derrick Henry in a Titans uniform for the next 3 to 4 years. I feel like he's still going to be a productive back for most of that time. but John Robinson has continued to show that he is not afraid to either not give someone an extension or part ways with a popular player, even if they may still have a year or two left in the tank. I mean, when you look at the New England Patriots, they parted ways with Richard Seymour, and when they parted ways with Richard Seymour and he ended up with Marquise Munson's Oakland Raiders, that was a huge news bulletin in the NFL because a lot of people thought Richard Seymour was still going to be a Pro Bowl defensive lineman for years to come. He was okay with the Raiders. He was pretty good, but he went downhill after he signed with the Raiders. And even though when Bill Belichick and the Patriots parted ways with Richard Seymour, he was still at the top of his game. Kind of what he's doing with Jarrell Casey, kind of what he's doing with Logan Ryan, not giving Derrick Henry a contract extension, especially at his position of running back, and this negativity towards running backs in the National Football League, because once they get their second contract, the theme is they kind of go downhill after they get that second contract. And you can look at so many cases of that happening in the National Football League. And I don't have a problem with John Robinson operating under this, quote, Patriot way, or if you want to call it now, the Titans way. But he's got to draft well. If he's going to do this, he better be drafting well, because when you look at the Patriots, they have not drafted well in the last 5 years. And now when you combine that with the fact that Tom Brady is exiting stage left, you're bringing in Cam Newton. Who knows what you're going to get out of Cam Newton? I kind of think things in Foxborough are going to go downhill here in the next few years with no Brady, no Gronk. You're bringing in Cam Newton. The drafts have been very underwhelming for the New England Patriots over that time. When you apply that to the Tennessee Titans, John Robinson better be drafting well. You get rid of Jarrell Casey, okay. Jeffrey Simmons better be a beast. You get rid of Logan Ryan, okay. Christian Fulton better be a good value pick in the second round and pick up where Logan Ryan left off. I mean, if he's only planning for another year or two of Derrick Henry in a Titans uniform, Darrington Evans, their third-round pick from April, better be a lot more useful than what Deion Lewis was in a Titans uniform. So this just screams to me Patriot way of not giving Derrick Henry a contract. Also, kind of aligning with modern-day NFL, where the passing game is really the strategy that wins you championships. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, elite quarterback with elite weapons, that passing game won them a Super Bowl. He signed Ryan Tannehill to a huge extension. He only franchise tagged Derrick Henry. So I kind of feel like John Robinson, A, is going with the Patriot way, and B, is going with modern day NFL and not marrying himself to a running back, even though that running back is the backbone of this team. Marquise Munson behind the glass. I know you, it looks like you have a thought.
Well, no, I'm just, look, if you're going to make this deal and you got to be certain of three things. One, Derrick Henry may be a free agent and may not stay. So you have to take that into consideration. Two, you better make sure that if he doesn't do option number one, you better make sure that you kind of lock down one of those other free agency, picks. Maybe a Dalvin Cook or an Alvin Kamara. Not saying they can come to the Titans, but they'll probably be a little bit more pricey than Derrick Henry. But you better hope that if he leaves, you get one of them. And if you don't do option one and two, you better make sure you draft, a guy like Travis Etienne or Najee Harris in the draft, because if you don't, then you're stuck with Darrington Evans, and then it's all for nothing. All this trading for Jarrell Casey to get cap space, doing all this was for nothing. And so you got to make sure one of those three options work.
Right.
Now, I understand, running backs, I understand the narrative. I understand the conversation, when it's surrounding running backs. And I don't see what a big problem would have been by giving Derrick Henry 3 years. He would have ended that deal. He would have still been 29, almost 30 years old, which if you look at 30-year-old running backs, I mean, let's look at another Alabama counterpart, Mark Ingram, who had 1,000 yards last year for the Ravens. Even though that offense is set up for him to have that 1,000-yard season, he was 30 years old and had 1,000 yards. So, I get the narrative of the running back and that conversation. And yeah, he's not a versatile running back. Neither is Mark Ingram. and yet he had 1,000 yards last year. So what? So I just look, and then even Frank Gore was productive last year, and he's old. And I love Frank Gore.
Frank Gore's like the Energizer Bunny. He just
exactly.
Doesn't stop.
Like I get the narrative, and there's always going to be a negative narrative, but there's always a positive narrative, too, when you look at guys like Mark Ingram and when you look at guys like Frank Gore, who, yeah, Frank Gore didn't have 1,000 yards, but he was productive. He was pretty productive. Yeah, I think Titans fans know that. He was pretty good in that game, too. So I look at it as, look, I don't see why a three-year deal didn't happen, because I don't think a three-year deal hurts you. You keep your star player. You keep a guy who at the end of that deal will still be in maybe his, not even his, probably his prime. I'll say probably his prime, maybe even close to that. But I don't see what a three-year deal would have hurt the Titans at all.
Yeah, and the contract is a big reason why a lot of people weren't surprised, or I should say the running back position, the position that Derrick Henry plays, obviously, is a big reason why a lot of people yesterday were not surprised, including Joel Corey. Joel Corey went on with Jared and the GM yesterday. Joel Corey with CBS Sports and a former NFL agent. Joel Corey weighed in on this as well, and he wasn't surprised that the news came out yesterday that Henry wasn't going to get a deal.
Well, getting the top tier, the bottom of it, is $13 million per year. So if I could get a deal which could get me $13 million per year, I'd have the first 2 years fully guaranteed at signing, and if not all the third year, I'm talking a four-year deal, and if not all the third year become fully guaranteed, and ideally early, like Tannehill's in 2021, the third year, 2022 and 2021, best early, I would call it a day at that point. But also, if I'm the Titans, I understand hesitation for another reason. Almost a decade ago, there was a holdout for running back, Chris Johnson. He signed for practically $13.5 million per year, I think like 30 in guarantees, 31. He played one new year on the deal. He signed it 3 years into his career, had a couple years left on his rookie contract. That ended up being a one-year extension for basically $29 million. And the cap guy, contract negotiator, Vin Marino, was around for that deal. He's still there, although John Robinson was nowhere to be found at that point. The cap guy is a negotiator, so I'm sure he hasn't forgotten about that one.
That was Joel Corey yesterday on Jared and the GM, bringing up just the second-year deals for a lot of running backs, including Chris Johnson, former Titans running back, after he held out for his contract. You know, I brought up examples yesterday of Sean Alexander and Larry Johnson, you know, 10, 15 years ago being prime examples of running backs, once they got their big deal, just completely falling off the cliff. But in those cases, Larry Johnson was coming off a season in which he toted the rock 416 times and he caught 41 passes. The season before that, he had over 330 carries. Sean Alexander was the bell cow for the Seahawks for 5 consecutive years, with close to or over 300 carries per season, including the last year with 370 carries. Derrick Henry, I will reiterate what I've been saying for the last couple months, does not have a ton of tread on his NFL tires. I mean, last year was the first year in his NFL career that he received over 300 carries. He only had one season in college at Alabama, his junior year, his last year, where he had over 300 carries. Now, he had close to 400. It was 395 carries. But it's not like the Titans have been driving him into the ground every single week for the first 4 years of his contract, which is why I think you, Marquise, and myself feel pretty confident that last year wasn't going to be the last big year for Derrick Henry, that moving forward, he's still going to have really good seasons, probably for the next 2 to 3 years, before that cliff might arrive on him.
Yeah, I get it, because I know a lot of people look at it as, you know, Derrick Henry has been this elite maybe a year and a half, like a season and a half. We've seen this elite Derrick Henry. And I understand if people have the narrative of like not paying him that money because of that reason of, well, we only saw a year and a half of this greatness. We need to see at least another year before we decide on something long term and before we decide whether or not this guy is who we're going to pay him for. So I get that, but
I understand that mindset for like a quarterback.
Yeah.
But for a running back, you sometimes you don't have that extra year to wait to
see if you can
give him that deal.
Yeah, because guess what? He's going to sign if you sign him to a 3-year, 4-year deal, you know, next year he'll be in that 30-year-old, 31-year-old range. And not everybody can be Frank Gore. I'm just going to say not everybody can be Frank Gore and play to their 45, 50 years old and still running the Rock.
He is by far the exception and not the rule.
Exactly. So, and I get it and I understand it, especially when there's young, talented backs that you can easily sneak in the draft, like a Travis Etienne or a Najee Harris, or, you know, those are the top two guys that can slip on your team. So I get that narrative, but pay the man his money. I don't think Derrick Henry should be in the same category as a Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley of a guy that you pay and then you end up regretting.
Coming up next, we'll hear Ryan Tannehill weigh in on the situation, plus Teron Davenport of ESPN.com will join us as well. On the other side of the rundown, Ryan Porth and Marquise Munson on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I respect Derrick. I love playing with Derrick and think he, you know, played his tail off last year and should be paid. So, you know, anytime a teammate, you know, gets paid, that's something that that I get excited about, especially a guy who works extremely hard and lays it on the line each and every week. So obviously would love to see Derrick get extended and be keeping an eye on that.
Welcome back into the rundown. That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday on SiriusXM when asked about the situation with Derrick Henry and whether or not he wants to see Derrick Henry get paid like he did earlier this offseason. And clearly Ryan Tannehill and a lot of his teammates want to see number 22, El Tractor Cito, get paid. But by the 3 p.m. deadline today, I don't know if he will. Joining us now is ESPN.com's Teron Davenport. Does a great job covering the Titans for the Four Letter Network. Teron, first of all, thank you for joining us this morning. How surprised do you think this locker room is going to be when you hear Ryan Tannehill's comments there? How surprised do you think the locker room is going to be and what their reaction will be if at 3 o'clock today Derrick Henry doesn't have his deal?
I think they're going to be very surprised that he didn't get a deal, but I think they're going to understand the circumstances with the pandemic that we have. But to be honest with you, it doesn't send a good message, right? And when I look at this, it takes me back to when Jonnu Smith was on the virtual press conference and he was asked about money and the plan on the final year of his contract. And he said, you know, he looks to how other guys kept their head down, continued to work, and did what they were supposed to do and got rewarded for it. Well, Derrick Henry did just that and more, and he's not getting rewarded for it. So I think it sends a bad message to the locker room, and it's unfortunate that the deal didn't get done. Obviously, there are extreme circumstances, but, yeah, I think the guys are surprised and disappointed.
Yeah, in the next 6 hours, it doesn't look like Derrick Henry is going to get that deal. Scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you that at 3:01 p.m. today, Henry probably won't have that long-term deal?
I would say a 7 or 8 surprise, because all indications were that they were going to work out a deal and they were going to continue to try to hammer it out. But it just seems like the last couple of days, it lost its legs. And obviously, you know, a lot has to do with what happened as far as the salary cap probably being flat and, you know, the projected lost revenue. There are so many factors that have influenced it.
How surprised do you think Derrick Henry is? How do you think he's going to react or has reacted if he's already been told that a deal isn't going to get done?
I would say he's surprised, but I think, you know, just looking at how the Titans have done things, I think they were in full communication with him, and I think there was a discussion that, hey, look, you know, this situation is causing a lot of uncertainty, and I get that. But at the same time, you have the Panthers signing Christian McCaffrey to a deal. You have Chris Jones getting big money. Like, there are other guys getting big money, so it's not 100% of an excuse. But I think that will allow him to understand the situation a little bit better. But I don't think he holds out. I think he comes in and he balls out and does what he has to do and positions himself to get a big-time deal next year.
Teron Davenport covers the Titans for ESPN.com. Teron, yesterday my initial reaction to this was wanting to know the why. Why didn't this get done? You know, once Adam Schefter put out that tweet yesterday morning at like 5 in the morning. What's the why? Is it because Derrick Henry's asking price on a long-term deal was too high? Is it because the NFL salary cap could be impacted by a reduced schedule or no fans in the stadiums this season? Like, I'm very curious to know why exactly this didn't get done, and we may never know, but that's my biggest question.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of things, and one of the main things that John Robinson continuously said was they want him around, but it has to be a number that works for everyone. So that tells you right there they couldn't get to that figure. And the thing is, when you look at Derrick Henry, he's coming off a year. We know what he's done, right? 1,540 yards rushing, led the league in rushing yards and touchdowns, tied with Aaron Jones, 69% of the offense in the playoffs up until the AFC Championship game, 30% of the offense, period, during the year. There's not much more he could have done to position himself to have something had to be a record high, right, with his contract. And I think that was really the main hurdle, was finding that comfort zone that both parties would agree to.
Well, when you look at John Robinson's, you know, moves this offseason, how he traded Jarrell Casey when Jarrell Casey still might have a year or two left in him, didn't sign Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan might have a year or two left in him. Those are Patriots-like moves that he made earlier this offseason. And now not committing himself to, even though Derrick Henry is a star, he's a running back. And there's that mantra out there that you don't pay your running backs on a second-year contract because of all the history with running backs on their second year of the deal. Do you feel like this is John Robinson just kind of holding his ground on maybe a Patriots-type thinking with not giving Derrick Henry a long-term deal one season after he was the leading rusher in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, people may say that, but, you know, the Patriots signed Corey Dillon from the Bengals, you know, before, and he was with them for a couple of years. So, I mean, I think it's a case-by-case scenario, and I think that's how John Robinson is looking at it. I don't think he's looking at it to where, okay, the Patriots would have done this, so this is what I'm doing. I think it's really just trying to find, again, that common ground where it will work for all parties. I think that's really the case.
So, Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, with us here. So, Derrick Henry and the Titans, there's been no public beef, you know, throughout this whole situation. This isn't even close to what the Le'Veon Bell and Pittsburgh Steelers situation was, and that's great to see. You know, if Derrick Henry goes into next offseason and still doesn't get a long-term deal and the Titans franchise tag him again, I mean, I have to think at some point Derrick Henry is going to say something in the media that voices his displeasure for not getting a long-term deal.
You know, I'll say this about Derrick Henry. He does a very good job of making sure negativity doesn't get out. I think he will keep from saying the wrong thing, so to speak. So I'm not so sure that message will come from him.
Okay.
Now, could it come from his agent? Very possible. But I don't think that message will come directly from him. And this year, this offseason has been a really good example of it. All that man has done is work hard. You see him running the hills. You see him using the medicine ball. You see him lifting weights, like doing everything. He is putting in the work. So I don't think that he would voice his displeasure to us, the media. Obviously, he's a person. So rest assured, he's upset about this deal. But, you know, I don't think that he would allow that to come out to the public.
Teron Davenport, you can catch him on the Talking with TD podcast that goes out on thegamenashville.com every week. TD, what's coming up this week on the pod?
Yeah, we're going to bring in Chris Sanders, you know, a fellow the game guy, you know, to talk some shop. And then we'll have Dalen Dawkins on as well, a backup running back for the Titans. So expecting a good show, like always.
Very good stuff. Looking forward to it as always. TD, good stuff as always. And we'll see at 3 o'clock whether or not 22 gets that deal, but it doesn't look good right now.
That's right. All right, take it easy.
All right, Teron Davenport covers the Tennessee Titans very well for ESPN.com. Speaking of Derrick Henry, Jason Fitz had an interesting take on Derrick Henry earlier this morning on Golic and Wingo that I want you to hear. We'll hear that coming up next here on The Rundown. Ryan Porth alongside Marquise Munson on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson here with you on this Wednesday morning. Speaking of Fitzy, who we just heard from in that soundbite right there, Jason Fitz has been filling in on Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, which you can hear on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9, 5 to 9 a.m. every weekday right now. And Jason Fitz, this morning, filling in for Trey Wingo. Trey Wingo usually has his top three-ish or top four-ish rankings for something in the NFL or the sports world. And with the news that Derrick Henry is not going to get a deal by the 3 p.m. deadline reported by Adam Schefter yesterday with ESPN, that makes Derrick Henry a possible free agent once again next offseason in 2021. So on Golic and Wingo this morning, they were discussing the top available running backs in the 2021 offseason. Not necessarily the top free agents, but the top available running backs, which includes draft eligible prospects. And he mentioned Derrick Henry, and you might be surprised where on that list that Jason Fitz mentioned Derrick Henry in his top four-ish available running backs for the 2021 offseason.
Best back available next summer is the best back that came into this summer. I still put Derrick Henry at the top of the list. I know he's going to get used and abused this year, Mike Vrabel's offense, and I'm not saying that I would sign him to a long-term deal, but if you tell me that for the next 2 or 3 years I have to make a decision on a running back, it's hard for me to bet against Derrick Henry. I think that a lot of flaws for the Titans have been covered by how good Derrick Henry is.
So that was Jason Fitz this morning on Derrick Henry, basically listing Derrick Henry as the number one available back in the 2021 NFL offseason. The rest of Jason Fitz's list: Dalvin Cook at number two. He listed Travis Etienne of Clemson at number three, ahead of Alvin Kamara at four, ahead of Aaron Jones at 4A, and ahead of Marquise Munson's Alabama running back, Najee Harris, at 4B. Interesting list there from Jason Fitz.
Yeah, I don't. It's hard for me, even with any position in college, to put them ahead of already proven NFL guys.
I mean, Etienne ahead of Kamara?
Etienne's going to be really good.
I know.
Now, don't get me wrong. He's going to be good. He's going to be really good. Him and Najee are top two in this draft. Probably going to go in the top 15, maybe, depending on how high a team wants to get a running back. But they're good. They're Saquon Barkley-style good, possibly. But I don't know. It's hard for me to do that. Like, if you were to do that list with a quarterback, I wouldn't put Trevor Lawrence on that list. Or I wouldn't put Tua.
Right.
Or I wouldn't put Joe Burrow on that list. Because I have to see NFL play before I decide whether or not to rank you amongst NFL players.
I mean, it's not like great running backs in college are sure things in the NFL.
Yeah, and then,
I mean, Trent Richardson from Alabama is a great example of he was a stud at Alabama.
Had one good year. And
he was just a total flame out in the National Football
League.
Yeah,
he went to the Raiders, and then, yeah.
With the Browns,
Well, 1 year with the Browns, he was good. His rookie year, he was good. They were setting high with him, and then
the second year with
spiral.
The Browns happened, and then they traded him, right? It was after 2 years with
the
Browns,
and then during a preseason game, he like ran through a hole. Like he didn't run through like a big gap, a big hole that was right there for a touchdown. He ran into like a pile of like defenders, and then that's when everybody was like, yeah, Trent Richardson's not the answer. But I mean, but it's hard to determine guys in that draft, because you get a guy like Trent Richardson who you get in the first round, but you can also find a stud in the third or the fourth. Like, you know, who's to say that a guy like Zach Moss isn't going to be good? Even locally, who's to say that Keyshawn Vaughn with the Tampa Bay, you know, Bucks, who's got a good position to be good because, let's face it, Ronald's not that good. Mm. So he has an opportunity to be, you know, a good back as well. So you can always find backs in like the second, third, fourth round that can end up being that Saquon Barkley level talent, but you just find them late in the draft.
I mean, think of the running backs for the 2021 offseason that Jason Fitz listed that are currently in the NFL. Derrick Henry, not a first-round pick. Dalvin Cook, not a first-round pick. Alvin Kamara, not a first-round pick. Aaron Jones, he's solid with Green Bay, not a first-round pick. But Etienne and Najee Harris are expected to be first-round picks in the 2021 NFL draft. Look, in reaction to Fitz listing Derrick Henry number one, it's hard to disagree with Jason Fitz because, look, Alvin Kamara, great talent, but last year he kind of took a step back and wasn't what he was in the previous couple years with the New Orleans Saints. So
yeah,
his stock isn't as high right now as Derrick Henry.
I think Dalvin Cook is the complete opposite of Derrick Henry in a sense of I think Derrick Henry really helps Ryan Tannehill and makes him look good. I think it's the complete opposite on that end. I think having Drew Brees in that offense helps Alvin Kamara do Alvin Kamara things. I think when they had Teddy Bridgewater in the game, it wasn't there. It forced him to be more of a running back than the dual threat, you know, that he is normally when Drew Brees is there. So it's kind of the opposite with those two.
So let me throw this scenario at you that I could 100% see happening next offseason. Let's say this season Le'Veon Bell has just a crap season with the Jets, and the Jets are like, let's just move on. This experiment didn't work with Le'Veon Bell. And then they pay big money for Alvin Kamara in the offseason. Can't you see the New York Jets doing something like that? And if he were to do something like that and go to the New York Jets on a big deal, to your point of Drew Brees making Alvin Kamara maybe look a little bit better than he actually is, if Kamara goes to an offense with an average quarterback like Sam Darnold or somebody else, I mean, can't you see Kamara being a bust of a signing at that point?
Yeah, and I'm not trying to imply that Alvin Kamara is just not good, and he's not good unless he has a guy like Drew Brees. It's just he looks a lot better
sure.
when he's playing with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And if you send him to the Jets, he has an opportunity to turn out to be the same player that he already is. Or he has a chance to turn out like Chris Ivory did. And when they signed Chris Ivory is supposed to be Alvin Kamara, and then all of a sudden he kind of folded too. So he has an opportunity to do that. But I would still – look, if I were to rank the top priority of running backs, I think Derrick Henry is like 1A and Alvin Kamara is like 1B. Because I think it all depends on what kind of offense do you want to run. Mm-hmm. Do you want to have that ground-and-pound offense that Derrick Henry – has to offer you, but he's not going to have anything in the passing game? Or do you want a dual threat type running back who can offer you everything like a Christian McCaffrey does with the Panthers? So it is all depends on what offer. That's why I'm going to put like those two guys are 1A and 1B, with Dalvin Cook kind of being number two and so on
so
and so forth.
So technically Cook would be number three. So, wow, you would put Cook at three?
Yeah.
So you would rank Kamara ahead of Cook?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, look, the versatility is what wins you football games nowadays. You can't have that one-dimensional back that can just run the football, but Derrick Henry is just a different breed of that
but
kind
Cook
of that kind
both.
Of running back. Yeah.
He can be, someone who totes the rock 25 times a game and gets a handful of catches per game, or they use him more in the passing game. I mean, he had 53 catches last year with the Minnesota Vikings. Not anything like Kamara's 81 catches with the New Orleans Saints. Kamara's ended up with 80-plus catches each of the last 3 years with the Saints. Cook's pretty darn good.
He's good, and I knew he was going to be this level of player since he was at Florida State. Like he's always been that good. I just – with Alvin Kamara's speed and just – I like Alvin Kamara. I'm just – and plus, Alabama and Tennessee
sure.
ties, whatever.
But,
SEC ties. But
to
still.
Your – to Well, one situation that would go in your favor on that debate of Kamara or Cook is that Cook is injury prone. Cook yep. has torn his ACL. He's been beat up. If he has another big year with the Vikings in a contract year, I would be very gun shy of giving him a 3 or 4 year deal in the offseason, knowing that Cook feels like the prototype running back that on a second contract just completely falls off the map.
Yeah, he could. And I don't see Alvin Kamara doing that, because what's the worst case scenario that you're going to do with Alvin Kamara if he's not running the football is he's going to turn into just a small slot receiver or whatever. So you can do a lot of different things with Alvin Kamara that you can do with Dalvin Cook, but you couldn't do as much as you can do with Alvin Kamara.
So interesting rankings there from Jason Fitz this morning on Golic and Wingo. Again, the top available running backs in the 2021 offseason. Fitzy had Derrick Henry 1, Dalvin Cook 2, Travis Etienne 3 out of Clemson, Alvin Kamara 4, Aaron Jones 4A, Najee Harris 4B in his top 4-ish running backs for the 2021 offseason.
And there's a lot more running backs on that list, too.
It is a loaded running back
class. It is going to be like running back heaven.
But
like,
there are some running backs on that list, and I think you have it in front of you, that list in 2021.
Yeah, so
like I could see some names on that list just completely falling off the map in 2020. But that makes the list not look as good going into the offseason.
Yeah, and see, here's
like Leonard Fournette.
Like, here's why that I wouldn't put a guy like, you know, Travis Etienne and Najee Harris in there so soon, because, you know, you still got Joe Mixon available, and I know off the field issues, which he hasn't had since he's been in the NFL, but you know, off the field issues you kind of worry about with Joe Mixon. Kenyon Drake, who's, you know, really good. He's kind of, I'm not going to call him a poor man's Alvin Kamara, but he's kind of, if you wanted Alvin Kamara for a cheaper price, it's probably going to be Kenyon Drake. Mm-hmm. But he's still talented. And, you know, Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette, those two are debatable.
Right.
Like, those two guys, they can easily have fall offs. And then when you look at James Conner and Philip Lindsay, who kind of play the same style, you know, Kareem Hunt, who we haven't seen what he can do with the Browns just yet, but, you know, maybe with another year under their belt. I know Nick Chubb is the number one, but he's a solid number two. And then Marlon Mack, who underrated out of this whole list of people that we really don't mention in that top tier of running backs, but had a pretty good season with the Colts last year and is probably going to be one of the key pieces to their offense, because we've seen when Phillip Rivers has a running back that he can rely on, hence Melvin Gordon, he can do some damage. So, well, you know, Marlon Mack may be like underrated in this whole list.
Especially when you think that he's going to split carries this year with Jonathan Taylor, rookie out of Wisconsin.
Yes.
So Marlon Mack isn't going to have all that tread on his tires. He might be more of a value signing than, say, Leonard Fournette or Todd Gurley next offseason.
Hot take here, I would sign Marlon Mack before I sign Todd Gurley or Leonard Fournette.
Would you rather sign Joe Mixon or Marlon Mack?
I'd probably still sign Joe Mixon. I'd probably sign Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon the last couple years in Cincinnati has been really good on a bad team.
Yeah, so that's why I probably would. I really think that he would re-sign with the Bengals, though. I think that's the perfect fit for him, especially with a guy like Joe Burrow as your quarterback now. Mm-hmm. I think that's a perfect fit for him. So I think he stays there, but if I had a choice between him or Marlon Mack, I'd probably go Joe Mixon. Just more potential there.
Coming up next, I have a small beef with Madden's ratings that are being leaked. I have a small beef that I want to get to, especially with the Tennessee Titans, coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson here with you on a Wednesday morning here in Nashville. Day 3 of Predators training camp begins at noon when the Predators hit the ice for their third consecutive day. They'll have an off day tomorrow and perhaps some scrimmages coming up here in the next week or so before they head to Edmonton, the hub city, for the qualifying round up there for August 2nd. Game 1 against the Arizona Coyotes. It was announced yesterday that Game 1 against the Coyotes will be 1 o'clock. Games 2 and 3 on August 4th and 5th, back-to-back days, both will be at 1:30 p.m. So in the middle of your workday, you'll be able to stream those games right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are hoping to check in with Chase McCabe here in the next few minutes at Bridgestone Arena as he and Darren McFarland get set to broadcast once again high atop Bridgestone Arena. But before we get to that, I have a minor beef with Madden. Now, a lot of people completely overreact to Madden's ratings when they get leaked every year around this time in the middle of July before they release the game, what, 5-6 weeks from around this time. Mid to late August is usually when Madden comes out. And Madden, again, this is just a video game, but some of the ratings for the Tennessee Titans just don't make sense. They just do not make sense. Let's go through the list real quick. Derrick Henry is the top-rated Titan at 93 overall. Kevin Byard, 91. Brett Kern at 85. Brett Kern is the best punter in the National Football League. He should be a 90 or a 95. Brett Kern is money when it comes to punting the football. Taylor Lewan at an 84 should be higher. Adoree Jackson, 84. Roger Saffold, 84. Harold Landry, 82. Jonathan Joseph and A.J. Brown at 81. Ben Jones and Ryan Tannehill at 80. Daquan Jones and Corey Davis at 79. That's what we know so far. So what I'm curious about is a few things. First of all, Jonathan Joseph at an 81, Malcolm Butler isn't a 79 or higher. I want to know why. Ryan Tannehill was the top-rated quarterback in the NFL last year and is an 80 overall. I don't understand that one. Ryan Tannehill got jobbed in these Madden ratings. Ryan Tannehill should be, I would say, an 83 or an
84. What's funny about Tannehill's rating? He has the same rating on Madden as Derek Carr.
Are you serious?
That puts it in perspective. Derek Carr is also a 79.
Well, Tannehill's an 80.
Well, that's close enough.
Close enough.
79-80, it's a one-point drop-off from Derek Carr to Ryan Tannehill.
If Ryan Tannehill was wearing a Cowboys uniform and did what he did last year, Ryan Tannehill would be like an 88. But Tannehill as an 80, I mean, Tannehill should be an 83 or an 84. Also, where are Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown? Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown should at least be an 80. Jayon Brown is a stud. Rashawn Evans, a stud. Madden disrespecting the Titans yet again for the 22nd straight year.
And I will say this. Brett Kern should be a 90.
I said 90 or 95. Brett Kern is so good.
Brett Kern should be a 90. He should be up there. He should be up there with one of the top in the league. So, yeah, 90. I'm not trying to give him a 99 overall. Not trying to get him the Aaron Donald treatment, but
you don't want to put Brett Kern yet in the 99 club. Apparently, there's this 99 club. I didn't know about that until last week, where Patrick Mahomes received some sort of gift for being in the 99 club.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald has four of them now. For four straight years, he has been a 99 overall.
He deserves it.
He does. He does. I can't wait to play it though, because
I know,
especially with the Raiders, man. My Raiders are looking. Ruggs got a 98 speed on there. I'm going to use Ruggs like all day on that game.
I mean, Madden is the only place you're going to see fans inside the new Las Vegas stadium this year. I mean, it's calling it is what it is.
Yeah, it is, but you know, it's unfortunate. But.
Also, another Madden beef is that Deshaun Watson. I mean, what does Deshaun Watson need to do to get respect? I mean, his coach trades away his star receiver, and Madden rates him at an 86. Deshaun Watson should be a 90. Tom Brady came in at a 90. Like, how is Tom Brady at this stage in his career rated higher than Deshaun Watson?
Look, and I will say this too, because the top 10, you know, quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. You can agree with that. Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson.
How is Matt Ryan rated above Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I wouldn't. To be honest with you, I think Deshaun Watson should be a 90 overall.
Especially.
Just saying.
I mean, this is how Madden works. Like, if you were to go in and try to customize someone's ratings, I mean, Deshaun Watson is a hell of a lot faster than Matt Ryan. Like, you would think Deshaun Watson's speed would elevate him over Matt Ryan in Madden ratings. So I just don't understand how Deshaun Watson is an 86, and surely don't understand
how
Ryan.
But shout out to Mariota, because Mariota has a top five speed in quarterbacks, amongst quarterbacks.
Do you know what Mariota's overall rating is?
I don't. I didn't look at it.
If it's anywhere close to Ryan Tannehill, I'll throw.
No, you know what it is probably? It's probably 78, because he's probably going to take Derek Carr's job. Yeah. So it's probably a 78.
You know what's funny, too, and we're about to get to Chase McCabe up at Bridgestone Arena, is that I heard this on Go Look and Wingo this morning. Saquon Barkley started as an 88. They revealed his rating recently as an 88. Giants fans threw a fit, and now Madden has him at a 91. I mean, just showing you the impact.
But I mean, but not even that. Like, that's an error on Madden's part, because Saquon Barkley, there's players who automatically, you can just say, gets a 90 overall. Right. He's one of those players that you point at him, that's a 90 overall. Like, Baker Mayfield, I think he has like a 74 in this game. He's awful in this game.
Madden's ratings, yet again, just befuddling. But let's go to Chase McCabe up at Bridgestone Arena, getting set for day three of Preds practice. Chase.
Hello, Ryan.
How are we doing?
Doing well. Watching, I guess, the young pups, the Milwaukee Admirals, go Ads. They're warming up. They're on the ice right now.
Go Ads.
Go Ads, yeah. So I'm watching them. And have you heard about this number? He's number 47. He's not Alexander Radulov, but Michael McCarron. This is a big dude. He stands out like a sore thumb because he's 6'6", 229.
How would he compare to one Hal Gill?
Well, Hal's, I would say Hal's probably 6'8".
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
6'7", 6'8", somewhere in there. So, I mean,
but Hal's like a giraffe.
Yeah, Hal's a giraffe. But I would say this guy is close.
I mean,
very close.
I mean, would you compare him to, I'm trying to think of an animal. I mean, a big animal, but not quite as big of as a giraffe. I don't want to call him an elephant because I think he would take that as a slap in the face. But I don't know where I'm going with this, with zoo animals and comparing.
Yeah, you're striking out.
I am.
You were whiffing like Ellie Tolvanen just did on a. He was trying to do a trick shot and it didn't work.
I was whiffing like Adam Dunn in a Cincinnati Reds uniform.
Adam Dunn, wow.
That's neither here nor there.
Did not think there would be an Adam Dunn reference today, but here we are.
Look, I woke up and did not expect an Adam Dunn reference either, but live radio. So day three of Preds practice yesterday, Chase, things ramped up for day two in comparison to day one.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would expect more of the same today. Day one was more, it's like the first day of school. You get the syllabus, you know what's expected, welcome, you see your friends again, and then day two you actually get into the nitty-gritty, and that's what they did, and that's what they had to do. We've referenced what Hal said with you on Monday a few times now, that you do have to dive into this because you don't have a lot of time. So I thought it looked like a good practice. If you're, you know, ranking how certain players looked, I still don't think you can do that yet, but Pecorine looked like he had a strong day. I will say that was something that I noticed. Philip Forsberg, you know, continues to look like Philip Forsberg, so you're not going to take a lot away from day two, but I could tell that there was a lot more intensity in it.
I'm curious to see what the line combinations are moving forward from John Hines, because the first 2 days we've seen the Jofa line together on that first line. If he continues to go back to the Jofa line, I have to think that's going to bode well for those three to stay together, at least for, you know, for them getting to the Hub City and playing that exhibition game together.
Yeah, I agree. And it you know what they've done in the past. So my hope is they give it a try. Again, you don't have a lot of time to experiment, but that's why they're doing it now, and see if they can rekindle that magic that they've had in the past under Peter Laviolette. We haven't seen it as much. We really haven't seen it as much this year with the Jofa line. So we'll see what they end up going with. But I'd like to see them stay together if they're successful.
Chase McCabe, live from Bridgestone Arena. Chase, I actually look forward to having the two of us on the show together for the first time in like a month tomorrow.
I know. That'll be tomorrow.
Yeah.
That'll be good times.
Yeah, that will be good times. And we will look forward to the show coming up here in just a few minutes.
All right.
All right. Chase McCabe, live from Bridgestone Arena. Again, coverage from day three of training camp coming up here in just a few. David Poyle at 11, so be listening for that. For Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson, I'm Ryan Porth. You've been listening to The Rundown right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.